listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And of course, Michael Kelly is also with us tonight doing the producing and popping in and out once in a while.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here.
So, tonight we welcome all those listening to the live program as well as those listening to the archive. It's good to have you with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an Association of Anomalous Researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for an expanded discussion of these nine principles of belief, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And I will talk about our sacred obligations. We have a list of those as well, five specifically. Talk about those a little bit later in the program. Anyway, tonight we are going to talk about a couple of things. Dr. Hunter is going to start us off with basically the power and energy of thought as well as prayer. Dr. Hunter?
Well, you know, recently I have been thinking a lot about what would it take to bring about more changes. And, of course, there's these, you know, massive prayer things going on in the planet, and people set a date and they synchronize and so on. And, you know, those moments and those time periods are really powerful. But there's a lot of misunderstanding, I think, or at least people don't necessarily know the concept of the power of a thought. Very often we can have a thought, but we don't let it go. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to address at some point was the power of thought and what a prayer is and, you know, how that energy moves and then how we can inevitably measure the energy of thought. But to back up for a moment, everybody has had the experiences from time to time of meeting somebody who doesn't necessarily say what they're thinking, and you can feel it. You get that gut feeling. It's because what they think and what they say are two different things. I very often met somebody who's what I call the positive negative. They're positive on the outside and perhaps negative on the inside. So, you know, there's those kinds of energy signatures that we can read off of each other. So if that's happening from others, imagining that others are getting it from you also. So the responsibility in what we think is not just put on others, but we have to really dig deep to say, what am I thinking? What is the energy of what I'm thinking? And what I'm thinking, feeling, and saying, fairly consistently, I know we don't all say what we'd like to at times, of course, but to be
good
as much in
times.
This is true. Well, we have to use some discernment at times too, but to have a strategy about how we want to deliver ourselves, but it's still from that good place of good thinking. You know, and I often say that if you're going to gossip about people and you're going to be malicious, that's negative and it's just, you know, all the way down the line, it's just wrong. But if you are mentioning even some challenging things about people, it's not with a malicious energy. It's not with a malicious thought. In other words, it's not to bring harm. You can acknowledge what's there. You can talk about what's there. But you still anchor back in who you are and know that you don't wish bad things upon anyone. Well, I mean, sometimes we think about it, but we have to get right back into who we are and check in with ourselves. So there's that power of thought that we know that that is getting projected. I've had this discussion very often with people about when they want to develop psychic abilities. And sometimes I wonder if it's not for the power they think they're going to have in being able to read other people's thoughts. And, you know, kind of have the upper hand. But interestingly enough, very few people think that it can go the other way. So if we are telepathic and we are universal, we are able to tune into each other. What does that mean? It means you go right back to who you are and being responsible for yourself. I am responsible for me, and I'm equally responsible for what I put out there and project onto others. So we have that interconnectedness. When people use the word meditation, it's fairly flexible and comforting because it doesn't seem to kind of extend too far. It's a pretty safe word. And when you say the word prayer, of course, it has all kinds of religious connotations to it. But I'm going to say they're pretty much the same thing. There are various types of prayers. When you are, for instance, the church will pray to some outside source to rescue them. That's looking for something outside the self to come back into the self. So it's like, I always kind of call it begging, you know, begging. You know, we all need saving from time to time or we need help. Now, I'm the first one to say, and once in a while, I sit back and talk to my spirits and say, excuse me, guys, $5 ain't what it used to be. Can you give me some help down here? You know, so, I mean, we do. We ask for a shared energy to support our energy, but not necessarily with that negative thought of being rescued, that we're all in this together. Do you understand? So I hope I'm getting that across. Prayer, on the other hand, though, when we enter a group prayer, and we combine energies, so think of it as a group meditation, if you will. We are combining our energies. We're focusing in on one particular energy, one particular thought, or something that we want to put out there. Then that just quadruples, you know, or magnifies the power of a thought amazingly. So the power of one is great. The power of two becomes greater, and then you join up a dozen, then you join up millions. That's exactly what it takes. It's to affect a greater, like a greater amount of energy. So we can even see it in elections. People of this side or that side or this. And it's interesting how good people, I think, worry about being defeated greater than negative people. And so negative people want to up and over and oppress, whereas good people just want to put that goodness out there, and they don't necessarily arm themselves with the power of that thought and standing really true to it. So there tends to be, if you're the least bit insecure about your power of your thought, then it's going to waver. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So the power of a really positive, good thought that's, you know, and again, that self-esteem plays into it. You know, basically, if we think you're really self-complete and you feel good and anchored and grounded in yourself and you project that thought outside of yourself, nothing can waver that. Fear can waver that. So we have to check in with ourselves very often and say, what, you know, if I'm not pushing that big power of it, or, you know, what's going on in myself. So that's how we grow. You know, we continue to grow as an individual as well as a collective by that. When we collectively get that together, interestingly enough, there's a thing called the random number generator, which it's way over my head, to be honest, but this is a computerization that can measure things like thermal energy. When there are big events on the planet and people come together and to help, this random number generator is affected and the readings all change. So there's absolute evidence now that when there's a negative energy versus a positive energy, this is the basically the computers show different numbers. So, and I'm sure, you know, Dr. Kelly can talk more about that, you know, in a little bit. But these are evidence of how the power of thought as an energy can be read and absolutely proven. So we're not talking about hocus pocus. And that's what needs to be really, really clear, is we're not just being flaky. We're not just saying, oh yes, you know, the power of thought, let's be really cool and be good and positive. It's an absolute science to it. You talk to your plants, they grow better. So that's an exchange of energy. They know now that water is affected by our energy. So imagine again, to back up and start over here right from point one, how we affect each other by our thoughts and by our aura. Now, even by auras can be read, there's Kirlian photography that, you know, with a mood, the picture is going to show up with colors that are all very distinct. An hour later, you have a different, and so on. So, I mean, just a mood can change your aura. So this is the power of knowing who you are, the power of being able to anchor back in yourself to have a good focus and being able to meditate. Meditation is not necessarily what people think it is either in a minute, but in the power of prayer, which I think is an active energy that gets projected outward. So we don't use it often here at IMHS, and we think about, because it's, again, that has that religious connotation to it. But it is what it is, in my view. And we're trying to educate ourselves better about what meditation and projection of thought is. But a prayer is a prayer. So if we use that term for a moment, the prayer is active and it extends beyond the self. So you're putting that energy out there. Yes, you can absolutely do the same thing with the meditation. You know, we do this every 3 months. We have our, you know, our solstice and our equinox ceremonies. That is a form of, it's a meditation. We check in with ourselves and we project for the future. It's a form of prayer. But it's also a meditation. So we pull our energy together and then we let it go and release it forward. So I was just wanting to reinforce to everybody tonight, we have an enormous amount of power. When you don't feel like just the power of your thought is cutting it, against critical thinking, strategizing, knowing how to better read other people's energy, how to interact, and how to move things forward, hopefully in a positive and productive way. So it's not about blinking people over the heads when you want something. It's a matter of being respectful and how to share energy. Sharing energy is sharing thoughts. It's sharing our activities. And this is how we learn how to be more responsible, but understanding the power of thought. Thought is an energy, not necessarily a word in your head that's the English language. So the only thing I might like to add at this point is the universe does not paraphrase. So when you are projecting your energy but using words in your head, be very, very clear. Don't assume that the universe or other people know what you're talking about. that's where we have to be more responsible in knowing what a word means. And how those words put together must be in context with what you want. You can't just say, well, doesn't the universe know that I want to win the lotto? Well, you just did win the lotto because you got a dollar. You know?
Yeah, so dollar.
It's being very specific and articulating clearly. So when you articulate to the universe, you articulate to others, say what you mean what you say, truly you grow more autonomous with yourself. You grow more intact, more knowing of who you are and being able to read and pay attention to your own thoughts. So meditation, prayer, they're all absolutely important. The power of thought that lives in each one of us is also being shared by the entire universe in ways we just can't imagine, but it can be read on a random number generator. So that's what's fascinating about how far we've come in our world and in the world of technology, which is awesome, although it has its downside, yes, but we are evolving, so we have to evolve individually. So I hope that gives just maybe a little food for thought and a bit of a different perspective on the power of thought and the power of meditation and the power of prayer.
Thanks, Dr. Hunter. Great points. And in fact, I'm going to add my two cents in.
Absolutely.
Brought up a lot of thoughts here. First of all, the random number generators are an interesting phenomena because what happens is they become less random when there are global events at hand. For example, 9/11. In fact, a few hours preceding 9/11, the random number generators were less random. And so that's, it's just interesting. And what it's showing is, you know, global consciousness. And so that in itself is an energy. And energy is a whole, I mean, it's a very interesting topic too. When you think about meditation or prayer, you're putting out energy to the universe or to whoever. And of course, you know, meditation and prayer, same thing. Meditation, largely, we can meditate in various ways. Mindfulness meditation, we focus on, you know, our life, on our higher self, whatever. Prayer often has the connotation of putting out to whomever, to some deity or to the universe or to wherever, to, you know, sharing positive energy, sending out positive energy, same thing, which we'll do in a minute. But this is all energy, and of course in our curriculum and in our teachings we talk about energy signatures, and that's the vibe that we all put out, and we can pick up on those vibes from other people. So energy is such a fascinating thing. I mean, you walk into a room, say you walk into your living room and you just take a look at it, you know, get a feel for it. It has a certain energy to it. Well, if it's a daytime, it's got a certain energy to it. Light coming in, it's got a certain energy. At nighttime, more dark, got a different energy. If you rearrange the furniture, that also affects the energy. That's where feng shui comes in. You know, this the energy is changed. And then there's that energy about us. What about our energy? You know, our disposition, our attitude. The thoughts that we have, which Dr. Hunter talked about, you know, it all affects our energy and the energy that we put out and that can be picked up by others, but most importantly picked up by us. We you know, if we're having a bad attitude, that's negative energy. If we have any kind of a negative outlook, well, that's negative energy. So it's good to take a moment, take a deep breath, and just assess your energy. Where is it? Is it more positive or is it more negative? You know, that's just the thing. Now, one of the things that can affect our attitude, our energy, are problems in life. And of course, everybody has their challenges. We all have these through life. There's one after another, all different types of challenges. And that's what I like to call problems or challenges. And we have to get through them. Today, you know, I was thinking back over the years and the different challenges, the different things that I had to deal with. In fact, last night I was talking with Michael about, you know, houses I'd bought way back in the day and places I'd lived, you know, and today I don't even remember all the details that went into that, but I got by. And that's the thing. If you're facing a challenge of any kind, just understand that, you know, in 5 years you may not even remember all the details of how you got through it, but you'll get through it. We always do. And that reminds me, too, of our principle of belief. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. So we have to look for those answers within us on these challenges, questions, and using critical thinking and problem-solving skills. Some of those questions that we ask is, you know, what would be the best course of action for this? What would be the worst course of action for this? If I had nothing to lose, what would I do to solve this problem? And then we have to do a 180, you know, the contrarian principle. Do a 180. It's like the fly at the window. It keeps buzzing at the window and pretty soon is dead on the windowsill when all it had to do is turn around 180 degrees and fly out through the open door behind it. So we have to look at the contrarian approach. What should I not do to solve this problem? And this is all part of creative problem solving or solution finding skills. So whatever the challenge you have before you, understand one thing. Don't let it adversely affect your energy. Understand that you will get through it. You may not know right now how it's going to all transpire. That's happened to me so many times I can't even count that high. I had no clue how I was going to get past a problem, but it worked out. It got through it one way or another. You know, you keep thinking, you keep creative problem solving, and you come up with solutions. And don't forget that priceless nugget that sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. In other words, the solution may be something that you just would never want to do, but maybe you need to do it. You know, maybe you don't, but maybe you do. And maybe that's where the solution lies. So be mindful of that. Now, I know that some of our members, even in the chat room tonight, have challenges before them. Specifically, and I want you to know we're with you. We understand what you're facing. Been there, done that to a large extent, one way or another. And I just want you to know we're with you. Our heart's with you. And I want to take just a few seconds, a moment here, and pause. And let's just do what we humans do. Let's combine our collective energy, our consciousness. Let's send out positive energy to those who need it. Just take a moment and do that now. And while you're at it, send out a dose to the whole planet. Anybody, yeah. Everybody.
You know, please feel free. One of the greatest things you can do, of course, we know about Reiki, you know, absent Reiki or absent healings. It's really quite extraordinary at times. If there's someone in mind you know of who is having a hard time, picture their face in your mind, picture their energy, and send all the good stuff you can to them. You know, whether that's a nice pink, soft pink light or a white light. And that is projecting that energy to them so that we are sending good vibes, you know, light and love to whomever. And when you do that, also extend that aura to all of the planet and everywhere in the universe so that we can elevate the consciousness, because that's what it's going to take. That's where it starts.
And I'd like to specifically mention, you know, two of our members, Fran and Tabby, both facing challenges, and their partner, spouses. You know, our heart goes out to you. You know, we're with you. Hang in there. Things work out one way or another. And even if, this is now I'm departing from Fran and Tabby on what I'm going to say next because it doesn't have anything to do with them necessarily. But even when we face life threatening challenges, you know, people get sick, they get ill, they have life threatening things. you know, I wish I had the magic wand, you know, the switch, and I'd flip it and everything would be righted in our world and in our lives. I really would. One of the big reasons I don't do God, because, you know, he allegedly has that switch or that magic wand and doesn't do anything with it. But if I did, I would do it. And I don't, which is unfortunate. You know, unlike other cult leaders and narcissistic, insane people, I don't have all the answers. I'm not the only one who can fix things. The fact is that we all can fix our stuff for the most part. And even as we get through life and we get toward the end, you know, that's why we have a hope based on compelling evidence that this is just one chapter of many. We move on, and just because we may leave it this realm for a while doesn't mean we're not hooking up with our loved ones and friends and whatnot in the next chapter. And so there's hope there. We just can't give up that hope. So to all of you, hang in there. Don't let life get you. Don't let life cripple you. You know, who's stronger, you or the problem? Well, be stronger than the problem, and you'll get through it fine.
You know, I'd like to just add to that for a moment. I've had my share of medical issues in my life, and I've lost a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who are struggling. And this is how, I know it sounds drastic, but I'd like you all to stay with me for a minute on this. In the last 100 or 200 years, we have made extraordinary leaps and bounds in science and medicine. And many of us are living beyond our clock, as I say it. You know, mind you, I think in this century, the best thing is a toilet. I love running water and painkillers. That's just the best thing about the 21st century. However, having said that, if you have ever taken an antibiotic, you have bought time. If you have ever had treatment of any kind from the medical profession, or you've ever eased your way through and got by on some kind of disease, you have bought time. And in that buying time, I have gratitude. You know, if it weren't for certain medications, if it weren't for certain experiences, I wouldn't be here. So this is where we can change. It's like a paradigm, right? You change our view. It doesn't minimize the struggle. Not at all. Everything is a struggle. Sometimes I think health is a full-time job. You know, or dealing with people with health issues is a full-time job. And it can be taxing. It can be, man, I tell you, there's times when we feel defeated and there's times it puts us on our knees. But the flip side is gratitude. I'm still here. You're still here. And we can share what we have learned, and we can continue to evolve and continue to support each other even through the greatest of struggle. Now, this is struggle without sympathy and without things, you know, an energy that deflates, rather it is that we're elevating with hope, elevating that, hey, we don't know what kind of cures will be next. We don't know what kind of medication there might be next. Maybe, and who knows, maybe there are miracles. Man, I've seen some pretty strange things in my life. But I'm still here. You're still here. And we're all dealing with our own stuff. But it's in that we're still here, and to live in a place of gratitude. Bring that right down to the center core of your being. All breathe that in right down to your solar plexus, right into your root chakra, and know that we're still here. And we're good. We can deal good with points. Anything. Anything's there. We have it. Because we're still here, it means we can deal with it, truly.
Excellent points. I thought about that myself, you know, the visits over the years to the dentist, you know, and
yep.
And I mean, you know, how many times have just tooth problems killed people, you know? They get infected and whatnot. And they'll pick you out quick. So,
yeah.
Some great points. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to have a chance to pull cards for anybody who wants one from our Inner Oracle card deck, which is a self-discovery system. It brings up points. So if you'd like a card pulled for you, please put your name in the chat room, and maybe we'll have Michael pull our first card there. But while we're doing that, while people are requesting that, I'd just like to talk briefly about the church. And I mean specifically, obviously, the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, Inc., ICMH Church for short. You know, and I just want to reiterate a couple of points. This is a legitimate, legal, valid church. It's a religion, metaphysical humanism. It is a human-centered spiritual philosophy, not a God-centered one. It empowers people. We teach life skills. Education is a huge part of what we do. I mean, we certainly explore and empower the human spirit, but we explore consciousness. And so those who are members of ICMH Church are members of a church, of a religion. Now, over the years, a lot of folks have said, why, you know, you're not Christian, you're not Islam, whatever, why are you using the word church in your name? Well, that's because I don't want there to ever be any doubt in the minds of those who don't know us, namely the government, whoever, that we're not a legitimate, bona fide religious institution, a church. Plus, a lot of people identify with that, people who are not they haven't grown as much, I suppose. And I mean, I was there once too, and I was still entrenched in Christianity. And when you outgrow that, you begin to realize that there's a lot more out here than just that worldview, that paradigm. There's a lot to think about, and that's why education is so crucial, because we need to understand that we're it. We have what we need within us. We don't need anything outside of us. Doesn't mean we can't ask for advice and get assistance on occasion, but you know, it's up to us. We walk our path. We determine our path. We don't sacrifice our path to anyone else. We don't subject ourselves to anyone else's path, you know, somebody else's purpose for us. It's our purpose for us, the thing that brings us meaning. So that's what ICMH Church is all about, you know, and from a patriarchal religious point of view, and I mean Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all those, you know, we're an atheistic organization. We don't believe in the God of the Bible or any other sacred text. Now, whether there's a creator or not, I couldn't tell you. So from that standpoint, we're agnostic. I don't know. Nobody can prove it one way or another. So that may be, I don't know if that's a shock to some. It's probably a refreshing thing to others. But that's where we're at. I'm looking for truth here. I'm not looking for somebody else's fanciful ideas that basically are there to control other people. That's what religion is. It's there to control other people. Make them do what somebody wants them to do, you know, and they all do it under the auspices of some supernatural being in the sky that, you know, basically on vacation somewhere, holiday somewhere, and he hasn't been around. So it's neither here nor there. But the point is, this is a church, is a legal, valid religious organization, and I am very proud of it, and I'm very proud of those who have joined ICMH Church. And if you're not yet a member, I invite you to join. Our principles of belief are on the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org, and you can be a part of this. And of course, we appreciate those who make donations to the church and to our work. We appreciate that very much, and we encourage others to think about that. Obviously, our schools are one way that we generate donations to keep this work going, and it's always been my vision, my hope, that we'll expand big enough to where we can really expand the good works that we do to others. I would love nothing more than to have ways to help those who are homeless, to educate them too, though, and because you can't just, I don't just believe in handouts. I mean, we want to help people for sure, but we also want to educate them, because education is the absolute key to people getting up and standing on their feet, and life skills crucial for that. So just wanted to say that. All right. So we've got some folks who would like cards, I believe.
Well, we were talking, We missed Dr. Angie at the end of the show last week, so Michael's going to pull for her first.
Okay.
And I didn't forget.
Good. That's good. You're better than me.
All right. Pulling a card for Dr. Angie. And I have wild card number 7, hope.
Oh, I love that.
It's a good card, and it fits in so well. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Wow.
That's a great one.
That fits right in with everything we've been talking about. Don't lose hope, and don't promote false hope, which is what I think most religion does. They promote a false hope. It's based on somebody's half-baked ideas on what the nature of life is.
You know, this might be a really good place to say Dr. Angie's course on animal communication is not far off. We're in the editing process as we speak, and so I think fair to say in the next month or two, people can look for Dr. Angie's animal communications.
That'd be good.
Yeah. So we have Tabitha next. Michael, do you want to grab a card there for Tabitha?
Well, absolutely. All right, Tabitha. Let's see. Another wild card. It's wild card number 9. Blank. Whatever it means to you.
Wow.
Those are always the most interesting ones, too. All right.
Yeah, it's a funny one. We had to throw that one in there.
Yep, indeed.
Number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
You know, it really is a point of saying you're writing your future with the power of thought, Tabitha. So, project. Dig deep. Know what it is you want and project that out there. This is a blank slate. So it's a lot of power in that. It's great. Great card.
All right. Fran, I believe, is next.
You're on a roll, Michael. Go ahead.
All right. Let's see, Fran. Oh, wow. It's wild cards tonight. I have wild card number 2 this time.
That's why I say you're on a roll. Let's go.
Yeah, wild card number 2 and then some.
That's a good one.
I am on a roll. All right. And then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By so doing, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Great card.
It's a great card. Especially that's a great the last point, part. Well,
yeah. Say it again.
After I was going to say just the last line of leaving the woodpile higher than you found it. Frankly, after a lot of our discussions, you know, speaking of last night, talking about, you know, where we've lived and such, I remember that's one of the core philosophies that I really thought about a lot throughout my life. No matter what I do, just try to leave the woodpile higher than I found it. I think that's a great card.
Awesome. Yeah. Darlene is next.
All right. Am I still on a roll, or are you going to?
Oh, yeah, you're on a roll, Michael. We're not going to interrupt this flow. You're a powerhouse tonight. You are tuned in.
All right. Well, I'm tuning in here. And excuse me, we have Dr. Darlene, I believe. Is that who he's?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, right. Yeah.
All right. I have number 9, self-completeness suite, empowerment.
Good one.
All right. Empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Wow, power of thought too. Wow, oh, that's yeah. Great. Good for you, Darlene. Good one. We have a new visitor to our chat room and our program tonight. It's Carol. And Michael, if you would do pull a card for Carol, that would be
of
awesome.
Course. Absolutely. All right. Excellent card. It's number 1 in the self-acceptance suite, perfection.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Wow, so if that resonates with you, Carol, at some level, just the thing that we reinforce here consistently is that we are perfect. We are all a perfect work in progress. And that's that little nudge of reminder for you tonight. So there.
You know, go ahead, Noel.
Oh, I was just going to say, what a perfect card for, well, not to make a pun, but what a perfect card for a first card, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, folks, we spend so much time, probably all of us have done this, I dare say. We have spent so much time and energy and resources, emotional resources, just beating ourselves up. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not educated enough. Whatever it is, and we do something, and we're our own worst critic, and we kick ourselves mercilessly. We kick ourselves worse than we need to kick anybody else. You know, that takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of resources. And the thing that to do with that then is to stop it. Stop doing that. Stop going down that path. Well, nobody's perfect. Baloney. I'm perfect. So are you. You know, does that mean we don't make mistakes? Of course not. We make mistakes, but, you know, that old tired out concept of perfection is nothing but an age old way to shame and guilt people and to control people. You know, just let go of it. Release the need to be flawless in terms of mistakes. You know, some people say, well, I'm flawed. Well, you know, not me, but we're flawed. No, I don't do that. That's too close to being a sinner. I don't do sin either. You know, we're perfect. We're human. We make mistakes. That's what we do. That's who we are. We can't change that. So we learn from those mistakes. We move on. And because of that, we are perfect. We're a perfect work in progress. There's nobody else on this planet that can be as perfect at being us as we are. So let go of the energy that it takes to kick yourself and beat yourself up, because it's just, it's a strain. Let it go. Release that need. Do we have anybody else who wanted a card, or was that?
Well, I just put a call out in the chat a minute ago, and if I have missed anybody, please can you just pop your name in there again real quick, and so we don't, you know, we'll do our best not to overlook anyone tonight.
Yep.
Really glad to see so many with us this evening.
Yeah.
You know, not only our regulars, which we're always happy to see you, but some new folks too, and that's. Tell your friends, you know, tell other people that we're here. Oh, Errol says he wants a wild card.
Well, good luck. Maybe Mike will pull another wild.
Michael, why don't you just throw your hand on this card and see what you can pull up for Errol here?
What do you think, right off the top, or should I go for the middle?
Wherever you want to go. And then, actually, and then Lanny is next up. So, Errol, go for it.
All right. Let's see. Feeling right off the top. And, all right, it's not a wild card, but it's number 19 in the spirituality suite. It's Invoke the Counselor Within.
Good one.
There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. That's such a great card. It ties in so well with empowerment.
Sure does. Sure does. Well, I hope you're happy with that one, Errol, because that's good from our perspective. Mm-hmm. So for Lonnie, let's see what we can do. Glad to see you here, Lonnie. It's great to have you here in the chat. I know we touch base on Facebook from time to time, emails, and I'm always glad to be in touch with you, but glad to have you here at the show, too.
All right. Let's see. All right, I'm pulling from the middle of the deck this time, and let's see, I have number 3 in the self-acceptance suite. Be who you are, walk your own path. Now that is definitely a pattern, if you ask me.
I know, it's amazing how this works.
Let's see. You are uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to do all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Well, from what little I know, I think that fits, Lonnie. You're, embarking on new projects, and I think that's a good one. That's a powerhouse.
You know, there's been a whole recurring theme through tonight's program about empowerment,
yes,
in one way or another, you know, and encouragement. And that's so in want these days. People are afraid. You know, they're scared, especially with the election process going on, in the U.S. And I just say, don't be afraid. It'll work out. Trust me, it'll work out. And one quick comment on the inner oracle cards. We're currently out of stock on them, but I'm expecting to get a new shipment in about a week or 10 days. So they're on the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org in the store, if you want to order a deck of those. All right, so let's start wrapping things up here. We appreciate so many people being with us tonight, and those listening to the archive too. Don't want to leave you out, but take in what we've talked about tonight and ponder it, think about it, take positive energy that's freely available, right, that we sent out, and be encouraged. Just be encouraged and then pass that good word on. I was going to say real quick that our sacred obligations is the work that we do, and there are 5 of them. There's a lot of sacred obligations, but here's the primary 5. Do no harm, do right, reclaim your power, attune your life leadership paragon, that means bring those into balance, and 4, pay it forward, and 5, deliver your greatness. Paying it forward is a big part of what it means to be a metaphysical humanist and delivering your greatness to the world without all the emotional resource draining concepts of I'm not good enough. Forget that. You're perfect. Go pay it forward. Go happen to life. Don't let life happen to you. So we've had a lot of great comments and a lot of great thoughts that have just permeated this program tonight. So I hope it's been upbuilding for you. We appreciate everybody's contribution tonight. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. And again, thanks to everybody who's listening. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.